WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You know, in our mock draft, we have C.J. Stroud going to the Texans. I think it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and grab JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like, you know, even if you don't think he's the wide receiver one, which, you know, is an argument, he is wide receiver one.
Right.
But if Stroud goes to the Texans, which, you know, here recently is looking kind of not so good, but if he does, I think that JSN will just be a, you know, plug and play, go get you, the guy you're friends with.
Right. I do believe that JSN is a – I do really think he's wide receiver one at this point.
Do you?
I do.
I thought
you had him at three in your
rankings. Mine's skewed a little
bit as
you know, the process.
Mine has also changed. Exactly. I think. So, also, it seems like a lot of people – well, like all the reports are saying that JSN is the only first-round-worthy talent. So,
exactly.
I mean
– So, I was right.
At receiver, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I want to say y'all was wrong, but I'd rather hear that I'm right.
Yes, you were right. Let's say it so he can feel good, all right?
Good, thank you. You
were right.
I would have done the same thing. I'm not going to –
That's fair.
Yeah. But my thing with the pick is I do think he's wide receiver one.
Yeah,
it's just about whether a wide receiver goes at 12, and I do
That's
think
fair.
We're at the top of the range that they're going to start to go.
Right.
So I think I think it's still like realistic.
We talked about it off air about because we're talking about maybe like if Bryce goes one and then Stroud doesn't go two, but even if Stroud does go two with the new hire of D'Amico Ryans, I think like two offensive players being their first two draft picks,
right,
kind of goes against everything that he's about.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico Ryans, the guy from the Niners, defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a good point that you made off air, that his first two picks maybe wouldn't be.
But they're hurting from an offensive perspective. Like, yeah, maybe it's
Who's
not
their
what
wide
he
receivers?
Wants. Yeah, exactly.
Mechie?
Nico Collins, John Mechie, Brandon Cooks just signed with the Cowboys.
That's Nico Collins. That's it,
I
right?
I believe they've got – do they have – no, Irv Smith is a Bengal now, I believe.
Irv Smith is a Bengal.
He was their tight end last year, but I believe he's a Bengal.
But
now.
they lost their tight end too. Did they not? I think he left in free agency.
I think I know you're talking about.
They have decent running backs though.
Damian Pierce is a
Pierce.
Dog.
Oh yeah, there's another guy though. They have two guys that are decent because Damian Pierce is good.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead.
Bengals legend.
I'm not referring to Rex, not Burkhead, not him. I can't remember who it is, but anyway.
Bengals and Pats legend, Rex Burkhead.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
If they could pair Stroud and JSN, though, like that would – because I think the type of coach D'Amico Ryans is, he could come in, and obviously you got to have talent in some of the top-end defensive players, but I think he could work with what he has better than someone else could and make that defense automatically.
Well,
improve.
I think there's just so many deficiencies on their team from the offensive perspective. They have a gaping hole at quarterback. They have a gaping hole at wide receiver, right? It does make sense to go offense, even though he is a defensive-minded
right,
coach.
It does for their team. Yeah. That's why I think all the Will Anderson hype here the last couple of days at two is just
– It's – I mean
– It's very much
Bama
possible.
Linebacker going to a team that's coached by a former Bama linebacker. It's not the craziest thing in the world, especially with how everyone slowed down on Stroud in the past few days.
Fair, but just team wise, I mean, you kind of gotta draft a quarterback, don't you?
You would think,
unless they you know say forget this whole season.
They don't have to do anything. They can trade all their picks if they wanted to. Like, let's be honest.
I guess they don't have to.
Maybe they say it's the Davis Mills show for one more season, then go get Caleb Williams next year.
Him or Drake May. Drake May's not a bet.
Drake May is gonna have a. I believe he was my projected. Did I say
Heisman winner? Yeah, he was your.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you said he'd be a contender. He'd be in the top.
Like two, three, whatever.
I thought you were gonna say first pick. I'd be.
That would be no. I'm not gonna go.
Well, I mean,
Caleb Williams.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he like plays that good. I don't know if people have this weird like conundrum where they're like, oh, well, is it between Williams and May? I don't think that'll happen, but you never know.
Yeah.
I think Caleb Williams will have that one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I believe if we are good on that pick, we move on to the 13 of the New York Jets, controlled by Elliot.
That is me, and as the New York Jets, I'm gonna actually trade that pick. Okay, so I'm predicting another trade.
What team this could be.
The age-old saying is, "Where there's smoke, there's fire." Right? There's a lot of reports that the Steelers are looking to trade up. Now, a lot of that talk is with number 9 with the Bears, which makes sense. Omar Khan fleeced the Bears once; he'll do it again. But I think that there is another team that is very much in the realm possibility to be traded up with that would be interested. in that, and that would be the New York Jets. And I think the Steelers will want to give up their 2024 first-round pick. One of the big holdups in the Aaron Rodgers trade is the picks, the future picks.
Right.
If they get their hands on like a 2024 pick, and then obviously the Steelers would give them other picks, probably maybe one of their second-rounders this year, maybe like another third-rounder or something like that.
All right.
But to get that 2024 pick, maybe that can help solidify their Aaron Rodgers trade.
Yeah.
They would be very open to that. And if they get Aaron Rodgers in free agency, they really fix their wide receiver situation, right? I mean, I think they have a pretty solid offense, especially if they got Rodgers, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. The Jets, and I think their defense is also
it's pretty good, right?
So they don't really necessarily need to make like some crazy pick at this situation. They may just need the draft capital in order to ensure that they can get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that the Steelers will trade up, but they are going to take a tackle. And it's going to be Peter
Skoronski
from Northwestern. They need a left tackle badly. Dan Moore Jr. has been okay. He's a fourth-round pick.
Right.
For a fourth-round pick, he got thrown to the Wolves as like a rookie. He played admirably well, but the time has come. They're going to have to replace him at some
point. They probably had the best draft last year, at least top-heavy.
The Jets? Or the
Pick?
Oh, the Jets, absolutely.
Yeah,
because they had Sauce and
they had both of the rookie of the
year.
And we didn't even, I didn't even, Brian Breece.
They absolutely had the
Breece Hall. Thinking of the guy from Clemson.
We'll talk about Breece Hall.
Breece Hall's a dog.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, easily had the best draft. Has that ever happened? Yeah, that's happened.
Getting both rookie of the years? I don't know off the top of my head, but
I didn't see some historical thing that this was the first time.
I probably would have heard about it if
it was. Yeah, I know the Cowboys, they had the top two guys on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
That year they had Dak and Zeke. It was like an argument of who should win.
Yeah. I do have a question for you about Skoronski. Do you think he stays at tackle?
I do think that they would keep him at tackle.
Okay.
Despite the concern, I think the concern is that his arms are a little bit shorter,
I think,
right?
They're like 30, they're 33 inch arms, which I think is people think is short for a tackle.
Again, I do still think that he is one of the premier tackles in this class. It's
right.
definitely between him and Paris Johnson Jr. Obviously, at this point, he's already gone, right? But
right.
they do have a deficiency at left tackle, especially, that they need to fix.
Right.
I think that he's a plug-and-play starter that fixes that immediately,
Absolutely.
And I think their offensive line is definitely bolstered by that.
Absolutely. I like that. I'm a fan of Skoronski. I mean, as much as people talk about the arms, he dominated in college. You can't argue what he did.
Against elite defenses, too.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Big Ten's probably got the best conference defensively behind SEC.
Probably. Yeah. All right. That is a good pick. Is there anything else you want to add on to about it before
I think it's interesting that the Steelers are making that pick.
It is interesting that the Steelers are making that pick.
I know. It's really crazy, right?
Like, I wonder if there's a Steelers
fan all,
in control.
It really, you know, like,
I think it's never once let Steelers bias enter this.
I'm going to be honest. You are the face of Pittsburgh sports. And I think they deserve an NBA team.
That's crazy, dude.
I don't think basketball would be that popular there, if I'm being honest.
Not at all.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Name them the Elliots.
This is a funny little bit you're on,
yeah.
Adrian.
this is devolved.
Who do you have with the 14th pick?
Well, I have the New England Patriots with the 14th pick, and with this pick, I'm going to take Deontay Banks,
the corner
out of Maryland.
Yeah.
This guy, he's also kind of a freak, kind of like Christian Gonzalez was. But obviously, Christian Gonzalez was taken a little bit earlier in our draft last week in the top 10. But Banks, he ran a 4.35, 42-inch vertical, 11-foot-4 broad jump. And he's also 6 foot, almost 200 pounds, 6 foot, 197, I believe. And you watch his tape in college. If you have all those physicals plus what he was able to do at the position, it's pretty hard not to get excited about him. He mirrored receivers at all levels of the field, short, medium, deep. He really didn't have a problem with that. You know, obviously, there's stuff to work on with him, but you've got Bill Belichick there, one of the best defensive minds to ever do it, and I believe he's going to see that and very much welcome it and take Deontay Banks at the 14.
So you think he goes over? That puts Joey Porter at the 4th.
I believe it does.
What do you think about that? You think he's a better prospect than Porter, the guy from Penn State?
Like I said, whenever we went over cornerback prospects, my main concern with Joey Porter is just simply his lack of explosive plays.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if anything, that is what's going to cause him to slip, like through the cracks.
I think that's such a bad way to look at a cornerback, and just in my opinion,
in today's game, it's not a terrible way to look at it.
Yeah, in today's game, I guess. That's fair, but
I am a big Joey Porter fan. Don't get me wrong.
I just think interceptions, if you lock one side of the field down, and you know, Pat Surtain doesn't get a crazy amount of interceptions.
No. But, I mean, he still had a pretty good combine. He's 6'2", 193.
Banks or
Porter.
Okay.
Porter, he is 6'2", 193. Obviously, his attraction is his strength and size,
right,
and his ability to press. He ran a 4.46, which is, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a
decent,
bad time at all.
It's respectable.
It's respectable.
It's very respectable.
Decent, yeah.
But I do think that
nothing crazy.
Deontay Banks' measured explosiveness is very impressive.
People are very high on Banks's explosiveness.
He's climbed up the draft boards a lot.
For sure.
I don't think he was first round at first.
Probably.
It
depends on
a lot of people were saying
bottom of the first round.
Early on, he'd be early second rounder.
Early second round,
yeah.
Maybe sneak it. If he goes top 15, I mean, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Let's get one more pick in before we go to break.
Yeah. So with the 15th pick, I got the Packers taking Michael Mayer. It's going to be Jordan Love's first year as a starter, obviously with, you know, departure of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I think Michael Mayer, personally, I think is the best overall tight end in this class, both blocking and pass-catching ability involved, after the catch. Had a couple great years at Notre Dame, been one of the top tight ends in the nation for a few years, and I think great security blanket for a first-year quarterback.
Absolutely.
I could see him coming in and making an immediate impact, being a really good player.
That guy is a tight end, dude. He is just as tight end as it gets.
He everything that you want in a tight end.
That's just what he is.
Is exactly. No, he's a good player.
Right. He'll be a really good security blanket for –
Tommy Rees.
He did play for Tommy Rees.
Yeah.
Now OC for Alabama. So
Tommy Rees.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I like to pick. I mean – I do think that you're going to need, like I said, security blanket. Jordan Love, he's always been referred to as the guy who needs time. And once he keeps starting, once he, you know, gets significant time in this league, he's going to need somebody to lean on, somebody to be able to, you know, have as his last resort that still works as a player. And I do believe that Michael Mayer absolutely can do that.
Before we go to break, I personally think that he is going to be great.
Michael Mayer?
Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is going to be a really
good
quarterback.
I don't hate that.
And in the time he's came in, he's shown flashes.
Yeah.
He played minimally.
He had a pretty rough game against Kansas City, but that was on like a short week.
It was also Kansas City in Arrowhead.
Yeah. It was a great
KC, team.
It was he was playing against Spags, who was a really good defensive coordinator.
I say MVP this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. MVP this year.
MVP this year. He's going to do exactly what Mahomes did.
All right, we're deaf.
Yeah, I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, we're going to notch that on the bad takes list.
I look like a genius if it happened.
You sure will, you'll look like a super genius if it happens because nobody else would have seen that coming.
No.
Anyway, we're going to go to break for a little bit. We'll be back with the, I believe, 16th pick that Elliot has with the Commanders. But for now, we'll see you guys in a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back once again to the student section. We're going to continue our mock draft. I believe right now we have Elliot sitting at number 16 with the Washington Commanders pick. Elliot, please go ahead.
I do. I think there's a lot of different ways they could go with this pick. You know, you are actually straight up in the middle of the pack at 16. Now, you are smack dab in the middle of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll try to bolster their O-line, go Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. They need to improve their O-line. That just kind of really comes down to that.
Absolutely.
Really nothing else to say on that one. And I think that Wright is the next best tackle off the board.
Right.
With Johnson Jr. and Skoronski gone at this point.
Absolutely.
So.
I would agree. He's huge, 6'5", 330. And I believe Will Anderson, his tape against Will Anderson this year was legit.
That's got to be the best, like, one game film.
Especially, I mean, yeah, you're going up a guy who's going to go top five.
But his Senior Bowl, who was it again? I think he only struggled against like one person at like the Senior Bowl or something. Like his Senior Bowl tape was also really good too.
Yeah.
If I'm correct on that.
Yeah,
that
I think
Bama
Darnell
game,
Wright.
Dude,
he's
Will Anderson, dude. You didn't hear his name.
That's what I'm saying.
That
like,
might have been
really
Will
didn't.
Anderson's worst
he allowed,
game.
I think he allowed one pressure in that game from Will Anderson and 8 on the season.
That's
Darnell Wright.
Crazy.
So I mean, I think he's a pretty slept on. I think you have Paris Johnson Jr. above him, obviously, because he's a physical freak.
Yeah.
And Skoronski, just because he's so skilled. But, yeah, I really like that pick a lot.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he jumped one of those guys. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people think they're the top two, but
I think there's a good chance he jumps Skoronski just because Skoronski there is.
Yeah,
the
concern with Skoronski is the short arms.
Is on, yeah. I think Johnson. Is probably the number one guy.
I imagine he is.
Yeah.
And dude, honestly, I think there's a good chance that if Carter's not taken at 10, or if Carter is taken at 10 for the Eagles, I think there's a good chance they go Johnson. Even though their O-line's good, they are huge fans of that cycle of offensive linemen there.
Who do they have at left? Is it Johnson or is it Maliata?
Do what? I think Mailata's left.
Of Mailata,
Johnson
yeah.
is right.
Okay.
I know Johnson is getting not old, but older, and also he's old enough to where they are. Obviously, they invest in the trenches every year, and they also invest in offensive linemen a lot because they like to keep that cycle going.
Right.
Constantly.
Right.
I think that's realistic for that team, but obviously, end of the day, you never know. But I do think that's maybe a slept-on pick for them at number 10. But yeah, I believe that leaves me with the Pittsburgh Steelers at number 17. Elliot, I hope you approve of this. I'm going to take Joey Porter Jr., Penn State. I'm a big fan of him. He's 6'2", 193, one of the bigger corners in this class. On tape, he looks like the biggest corner in this class. His press work is really good. He takes people out of the play sometimes. And obviously, I have to mention it, father, Joey Porter. Steelers legend. I mean, and I think there is a certain factor with the Steelers of liking to, you know, take guys who've got a certain lineage or a certain name.
Right.
And
they tend to do that sort of thing.
Exactly. So I think they,
that
I think they're going to go
a
with,
lot of sense.
I think they go with Joey Porter here, especially with their kind of lack of guys on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, they do need another cornerback. I'm not gonna deny that, right? I mean, like I'm gonna be so honest with you. Like, he is an upgrade over James Pierre or Akella Witherspoon. I mean, like I wouldn't.
The Witherspoon slipped on.
You think so?
Bro, you know what? It's funny. I actually said that when they traded for him, and then. Yeah. He ended up being burnt toast like 3 weeks later. So
yeah. You had to say that. You had to say that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it does. He, I don't know. Like, does he? Is he an immediate starter?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Top 17 pick at cornerback.
I think pretty like 99% of corners taken the first round are day one starters.
First round guys start.
Well, absolutely. Most first round non-quarterbacks are
starters.
Are pretty much always day one starters.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just trying to think. I don't know. See, I don't know what they're going to do with like their cornerback depth chart's really weird right now. Because I know they wanted to move Patrick Peterson to like safety or something. And I have no idea what they're doing. So I don't know. I mean, like I said, my issue whenever we did cornerback rankings a couple weeks ago, my issue with Porter is that he just has a lack of explosive plays. That to me is his major pitfall.
Which, and I talked about that, how I didn't think that was a big problem, but if he went to Pittsburgh, that wouldn't be that, you know, that big of a deal. As far as like some of the guys that they got.
Well, so that makes sense situationally, right? So you have your big play guys, I guess, in TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, right? But I guess if he went to
the league.
I guess if he went to a team that had a trouble in creating turnovers, then that doesn't that doesn't move the mark.
Yeah, that's fair. Just having a really good press corner, I think, will do a lot of good for Pittsburgh in general. Because, I mean, you have – I think a combination of having a good press corner and especially an elite outside linebacker or edge rusher is – I mean, I think that's a really good combination.
I mean, those two guys are probably the best at their position. Don't you – Minka and T.J. Watt?
Minka and T.J. Watt, they're close.
Minka's the best at his position.
Minka has to be the best at his. I think you make an argument with T.J. Watt.
Is Minka free safety or strong safety?
Free safety.
Free safety?
Who's the arguments with T.J. Watt?
James is strong safety, right?
I'm trying to think. I know some people, even though they're technically not listed as the same position, I know people always try to say that, like, Myles Garrett's better than T.J. Watt or whatever.
Right.
But
what about Bosa? I guess
Bosa would be your closest.
Bosa actually might be better than him.
I think Nick Bosa, well, definitely last season for sure.
It's like, definitely last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, I mean, to be fair, Watt was hurt. I mean, so.
Fair, but you still kind of have to say that Nick Bosa is the better player.
I'm not denying that. No, he totally deserved his.
I think he's got Garrett beat.
Do we think that Minka Fitzpatrick is the best safety?
Minka Fitzpatrick is the best safety.
Best safety between like free and strong?
I think Derwin James
is the best safety in the league.
Derwin James
Jr. is a freak.
He's better than Minka, though?
Yes, I think so.
Has he made a Pro Bowl yet? Has Derwin James made
a Pro Bowl? I'm almost
I think he's made a Pro Bowl.
I'm almost certain he's made a Pro Bowl. I can make sure.
I think,
but
I'll put it this way.
He's made a Pro
Derwin James.
Yeah.
I'm really telling
Derwin
funny.
James. Like
Derwin James is pretty good.
He's very good. I just think that I think Minkah has made more impactful plays for his team than maybe Derwin James has.
Okay, I don't think that one. I think that's obvious, though. The impact plays?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, I think you could argue
like,
Derwin
the
James.
Amount of times that Minkah Fitzpatrick has single-handedly ended a game by himself.
Dude, I think Minkah's the best. I could be
I personally think that Derwin James is the best safety in the
league. He's seeing through those black and gold glasses, you know?
I was saying crimson and white, but maybe black and gold.
Yeah,
black and yellow.
Both are fair. Both are fair. But I mean, this may it may just be a personal pick, but Derwin James is just a super freak. He can do anything on
the
football
field,
and he always does.
Chargers.
But, yes.
He was top 10, was he not?
I believe so.
Because he came out of Florida State.
At FSU, yeah.
Yeah. Well, moving on. 18th pick, Detroit Lions, up-and-coming team who I think is coming out of the NFC this year. I'm done with the hot takes. I do think they will win a playoff game. I think they're going to take Bijan Robinson.
All right.
Who's arguably the best playmaker in this draft as far as, like, from any position.
Right.
You know, we talked about when we did the running back rankings, how many tackles he made miss. It was over 100, which is the first time a running back did that since 2014.
Wow.
And it was like 112.
Who did it in 2014? Yeah.
I can't recall who it was. Okay. But I know one thing, though, that they said since then that there's been 1,998. So basically 2,000 running backs eligible for that stat, and he was the only one like that had that amount of missed tackles.
Right.
Because it had to have a certain amount of carries.
Right. I do love Bijan Robinson, and I really do think that if this was the pick that they make, it would transfer, like, that would be the best rushing offense we've seen in a very long time.
That with some of the guys they got on the outside.
Exactly.
I mean, if J-Mo takes a big year, step two, in year two, a big step in year two, obviously St. Brown.
Right. And I mean,
who's their
talented tight end? Offensive line? Do what?
Who's the Lions tight end?
Tight end?
Oh, it's the backup to whoever was
it's
Hawkinson.
It's not Hawkinson anymore.
Yeah,
I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Yeah,
it's
whoever their backup was. But like, apparently the backup, I think, wasn't there some stat the backups had like I think Hawkinson only had like so many touchdowns, and then like the two backups that they used in replacement like exceeded that number by like a ton or whatever after they traded him? Something like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think it's kind of one of those things that when a team knows you're the target, they go, you know, does that make sense? Kind of the same thing everyone used to say about Julio. It's like, oh, he doesn't get touchdowns because, oh, he's the obvious number one target. Yeah. They're going to focus all their control on him, and that's what's going to make the second and third guys get all these touchdowns.
If he's giving you
10
catches and 100 yards.
Do what?
I'm saying Julio. If he's giving you 100, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, yeah.
And touchdowns are important, but still.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so that was the Lions, Bijan Robinson. And also, what I think is weird about that is that I really do think it's a good pick, and I do agree with it. They did pay David Montgomery like a 2-year, $12 million deal in the offseason.
Yeah, that's
so do you think they could still do that plus that pick, or do you think that that's
– I think that he could be the running back of the future because obviously Montgomery's not –
So they have Montgomery and they have –
They still have DeAndre Swift.
Swift is still on the roster. Swift has really gotten the short end of the stick. No,
Swift,
not really. He's not. He's. I mean,
he's had his moments.
He's had, but that's the thing.
He's not that guy.
He's defined by the occasional moment. With DeAndre Swift, when you give him the ball, he's always hunting for the big play to where he doesn't know when to go get the yards that he.
So he's like the perennial one-hit wonder.
He dropped the game-winning touchdown.
He did?
Yeah. Y'all not remember that?
I can't remember
when was
that
it, like a couple years ago when he dropped that? Like, he dropped a game on a touchdown, like, in the end zone.
I don't remember that off the top of my head.
I can't remember who they played. It was, like, week one, though. It was early in the season. I remember I watched the game.
Right.
And, like, it was, like, an easy catch.
Right.
He just dropped it.
Honestly, dude, if it was just DeAndre Swift on that team, that would make that Bijan pick really good. Because Bijan can be in as long as you want him to. But DeAndre Swift is a change of pace guy. That guy is top-end speed, and he can get going if he gets
the
ball.
I could see him adding to their line.
You think so?
The Osiris Torrance. How do you say his name?
Osiris Torrance.
I could see that.
Florida guy. Yeah.
From Florida.
I'm a big Osiris Torrance fan. He actually played center at Louisiana Lafayette.
Did he?
Raging Cajuns.
Oh, he's a transfer.
Yeah, he was a transfer. He played, and honestly, he could have gone in the draft
last year. Yeah.
After playing center, he could have been really good, but I think he just wanted to prove that he could play guard in the SEC.
Right.
And I think he did that. So, again, big Osiris Torrance fan. I guess they could maybe go with that there, but I feel like investing with O-line when they have those needs, they do.
Yeah.
Secondary.
I've seen
talent.
A couple of mock drafts that said receive, like Quentin Johnston from TCU, which yeah. I personally don't think. I think it made more sense to get another running back than to get another receiver.
Yeah. And I do think that Quentin Johnston is slipping more and more.
He slipped.
Yeah. I think he's slipping more, especially this for the same kind of reason, but kind of inverse that we talked about Bryce Young, that I talked about Bryce Young with the Panthers when we were doing the first round.
Right.
That all there's left to do now is watch tape and do all these tests and stuff. And I think when it comes to Quentin Johnston, that the tape is not exactly in his favor in a way. There's some things that are, but there's a lot of glaring problems in his game that I think teams are going to see.
I think one of his major problems is that he's like a lot of these receivers that you see that are in the top tier, right? So like a JSN, and then I still think like Addison or Hyatt is still also in that top group of people.
You think Hyatt's over Johnson?
I think what they have over Johnston is that they can play multiple different positions, like the JSN. Like they can play outside, they can play in the slot, right? They can. Johnson is like the true X. He's just like a one trick pony in that sense.
Yeah.
I don't think you can bump him anywhere else.
I don't know if that necessarily hurts him, though, because he has the traits of an X guy. I think that's what you look for when you're drafting.
I think you look for it in the first round. I think you also want versatility. Can you imagine like the different offensive schemes if you were able to shift all your receivers around and everything?
Right.
Like that, if he's on the field, you know that he's going to be the X guy, right? So like it might be easier to game plan.
He's really fast for his size, though, dude.
He's fast, and he honestly has pretty good feet.
He had against Michigan.
Duggan rolls out and flips it to him, dude.
And he just like outran everybody. But he's bigger than every guy that he was like that was trying to catch him.
Yeah, it's funny because I mean he's big and he plays fast, but he doesn't play as big as he should. I think he honestly plays down. That's been the main concern with him is that for as big as he is, he doesn't play he should.
His catchability, what's the word? Like I'm trying to think when a defender's like draped over him.
Contested catch.
Contested catchability is really good with him though.
Is it? I really don't think it was. I don't think it was that good.
Contested catching?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was.
I think.
Are you sure? I'd have to look up numbers for it.
I thought his contested catch is one of the best.
I'd have to look up the numbers for it, but I didn't.
We'll look it up during the break.
Yeah. That was, as far as I knew, it was one of his
strengths. We'll get back to you guys.
Overall, though, I was just going to say, I feel like this year's draft is a lot. Like, I think last year's draft, players wise, was a lot better. And I know it's easy because, like, we've seen the guys last year, but even as prospects, like, if you take position by position, mae not quarterbacks.
Not even close.
Not quarterbacks.
The quarterback class last year sucked.
That was one of the worst of our life.
Yeah, it was so
bad. I think receiver was substantially better.
Yeah.
Receiver was pretty top heavy.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree. I have to go back and look at the draft.
That's a good topic we should bring up one day.
Yeah.
Running backs were better last year. Who was the top running back last year?
Breece Hall. Was
Breece Hall the first one picked?
No
way. Close.
He might have been the second one.
My favorite last year. Yeah. But
we'll check that out.
Yeah, we got some research to do during the break. But let's keep moving on with the draft. Where does that – I believe that leaves us
19th
at
19. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's me.
Elliot.
Okay. This is very much like the – Commanders, like, this could go, like, a variety of different ways.
Right.
And, like, this is also another team that's kind of in, like, a rough spot, you know, like, with their roster. And I think they may opt to go with an edge rusher here. I think their pass rush leaves a lot to be desired right now.
Right.
I'm not very high on this guy, but it seems like a lot of other people are. I think they'll opt to take Miles Murphy out of Clemson.
Okay.
With this 19th pick. Like I said, whenever we did edge rushers, I'm not very high on Miles Murphy. I don't even have him in my top five. But you didn't either, right?
Miles Murphy? I did not.
Yeah, you didn't have Miles Murphy either.
Who all has been taken at edge for us right now? We've had Nolan Smith, Tyree Wilson, William Anderson. That's funny.
Yeah, so this is like he'd be the fourth.
Gotcha. Okay.
Off the board.
Okay, that's I don't hate that.
But I think a lot of people are very high on him, and part of it I think is because of the university he went to. If he had the same career, but he was at a Kentucky.
Yeah.
They'd probably be like, oh well, you know. I feel like part of it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Oh no, they'd probably be like, oh well.
Yeah. Like, no, they would have been like, he's all right. You know what I mean? But, like, okay. Part of because he goes, wait, like, to Clemson. You know what I mean? Miles Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Murphy. Right? Like,
Adrian didn't even know what you were talking about.
I got zoned out when you said Kentucky. It just threw me all off.
Yeah.
My bad.
So if he went to a different university, he would be what?
I feel like if he went to a smaller university, like, one that wasn't very well known for, like, its football program, like, with his career and, like, his stats and everything, I think a lot of teams would be a lot lower on him. Than what he currently is.
That makes
a lot of sense about a lot of players.
I feel like that's the case for most. Would you?
That's why I'm saying. That's why I'm not high on Murphy, but I think that he will be a first round
because
pick.
He goes to Clemson.
He's got that pedigree of the university.
Okay, that makes sense.
I was about to say 19th pick and not high on him, you're just saying that's where you think.
Yes. I'm surprised Lucas Van Ness is not gone yet. I think
Van Ness is slipping.
Oh, I thought he was rising.
I didn't think he was.
I thought he was rising.
I didn't think he would be above Miles Murphy, to be honest. But
really?
No.
I didn't think he was. But regardless.
I'm sorry. This is whenever you say Kentucky is what threw me off because Kentucky.
Good Lord.
Dude, okay. Kentucky makes like they have a lot of high draft picks.
We're rewinding
dude.
A lot right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no.
Let's back it up.
Josh Allen came out of Kentucky like not long ago. It was like a top 10 pick.
Yeah. You're talking about the end.
The DN.
Okay, yeah. I'm just making sure.
Not the quarterback.
No, yeah. He was definitely talking about the quarterback. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah.
Fine. Let me revise it. Let me make it easier for you. Let's say he went to, like, Vanderbilt or something like that. Okay?
Does that make it better?
Do you get what I'm saying, though? Like, part of that, like, pedigree of, like, going to, like, one of those high-end football schools like Clemson, I think really helps his stock over some other guys. Because, like I said with the edge class, I think a lot of them, like, we have Anderson, right? And then there's Wilson.
Right.
And then I guess you could say, like, Nolan Smith, maybe. And then everyone else is just, like, this conglomerated blob, right?
Yeah,
I still think Lucas Van Ness is a step above the conglomerated
that
blob.
That vocabulary was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
The blob.
You know, I just wake up reading the dictionary.
That was, you had, like, a little list this morning, and there was, like, three words that you had to use, and that was one of the words. And that was great. I liked it. I know we're going to talk about it after break when we talk about the 20th pick with the Seahawks kind of collectively. I think they're going to take Van Ness now.
You think so?
I mean,
I would agree now. I think it seems like you have to at this point.
Yeah.
But
we'll talk about it when we come. Yeah. Disagree.
We're going to go to break for just a few minutes. Obviously, we have some research to do. But yeah, we'll be back with you guys in just a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back for our last segment of the student section. We are going to finish out our 10 through 20 picks, or 11 through 20, I guess, for this round of the draft. As of right now, we have the Seahawks at the 20th, and as we've done before, we're going to kind of make the last pick a little bit of a communal one. We do have a little bit, maybe, disagreement here. I think because Lucas Van Ness is available, I think we can all agree with that pick.
Yeah.
I think if they go edge, that would be the pick.
Absolutely.
Before Lucas Van Ness wasn't picked, I was going to say Brian Branch.
Yeah.
Brian Branch has kind of slipped. I think he still might find himself in the first round, though.
You think so?
I think so. I think he's a good enough player.
I think he's a good enough player. It's just
that Sugar Bowl dude.
He plays a position that I think it's harder for teams to be really high on him with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though that position is, like, used in the league right now, but for some reason it's just not scouted as highly as the wideouts.
Players like him usually tend to slip because Minka slipped.
Exactly.
Minka went 11th, and a lot of people thought Minka was, like, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess that's not really that big of a – it's a slip, but it's not nothing crazy.
I mean, you're talking about Minka slipping to, like – 11 or something, and then Branch is like maybe a second round.
He's
pick or
say, yeah, exactly. So it's not like
I would have. We talked about this a little bit before we went to break, but I would have if Lucas Van Ness weren't available, which there's odds are pretty good he's not available here. But Brian Percy, I think, is kind of a textbook Seattle pick in terms of the big three tech interior guy. Now, I do kind of want to talk about this a little bit. Elliot, I know you have reserves about me picking Brian Brzee as the second defensive tackle.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I just personally think, if it's me personally, I would take the flyer on Kancey.
Right. I'm going to say that they pick, before you say that, that they pick in our mock draft, they pick Brian Branch. Because in our mock draft, we have the Seahawks grabbing Will Anderson.
Oh, we totally did.
We haven't worn Will Anderson.
We can't take Lucas.
We can't
Van Ness.
Take Van Ness.
I mean, so you that, could. I mean,
we could, but I don't think they. I think it's tough.
Are there edge rushers that depleted?
I still think it's
no
not
way
exactly
they take
about.
Two,
it's not exactly about that, but you still want interior. They need interior defensive guys.
But
like, at the end of the day,
I was saying what you think. There's no way they take two.
I'd be really surprised.
Like,
well, I mean,
Will Anderson. And
I think they might take. I'm trying to think of what picks they have like for the whole like draft.
Right.
They may take two,
but one of them might be
in like the third or fourth round like that. Definitely not two in the first round. But.
No way they use their 5 and 20 pick is.
I'd be pretty. Yeah.
Well, I think realistically, like we're saying, this is just our mock draft the way that we came up with
that
it. But like, I don't even think Anderson's available at. Like, I don't think they'll take him at five.
I think
we talked about all the smoke with the Texans maybe taking him. Like that may not even be in play at that point.
Yeah.
So
no, that's fair.
I thought you were going to say that you didn't think Will Anderson would be available at 20.
I was about to say,
that would be crazy, actually, guys, at
21, the LA Chargers are going to select Will Anderson.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
He would end up being the best defensive player of all time if something like that happened.
Only because we haven't talked about interior defensive line much on this show. I do kind of want to open the debate on Brian Brzee and Kalijah Kancey, and even. Jalen Carter, if you want to a little, I think Jalen Carter's clear cut number one.
Oh,
I think we
no
can all agree
doubt.
About that. That's why he went, you know, almost 10 picks earlier. But yeah. So what is it with why do you think you have Kalijah Kancey a little bit over?
I just think his athleticism is just so like off the charts crazy. I know he is undersized. I get that. But I think it's one of those situations like there's certain positions where, like, that's okay. Sometimes it doesn't work out. And technically, all of these picks, it's a gamble, right? You never know how they're going to turn out unless it's, like, I mean, not even with the number one. I mean, there have been first, like, number one overall picks that have become, like, busts. But
good bit them.
Yeah. And so, like, it's always a gamble. And, like, you know, like the Rams take their gamble on like Aaron Donald, who was undersized, right?
Right.
Was he the first pick? He was the third pick.
Yeah,
he was
first. He was.
He was like second or third.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah,
I
but like Kancey is like almost a mirror image, like physically and like with like the like.
Physically, he does not have the build that Aaron.
He doesn't
Donald
have
did.
The build, but he's got like the same. He's got around the same like not definitely
skill set,
not the
maybe?
Build. What
skill set?
It's the undersized and the production.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I can get on with that.
For his size,
For that size, because they were both undersized.
Numbers.
I'm not. Aaron Donald is built like a tank.
Yeah, his
okay?
frame is. Because Kalijah Kancey still has a thin frame.
He's thinner, right. But for
tackle.
Their like size, like their weight class type thing, that undersized for a interior D lineman.
Yeah.
They have they're very similar in that
regard.
And
that's the pit guy, right?
That is the pit guy.
So
yeah.
Maybe we'll. Funny enough, you got the Pitt guy. Maybe
that was the
maybe,
first thing I said.
Maybe the next Aaron Donald is from Pitt too.
Wow,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
right?
the stars align.
You never know what they're cooking.
Maybe
over
Pittsburgh
there.
Produces arguably the two best defensive players of all time.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
I'd be happy for your sake.
Yeah, I'd be so happy for you, man. I just
okay. Go Panthers.
Oh, man. All right, I'm gonna talk about
Hail
Brian. I'm gonna talk about Brian Brzee a little bit. With Kalijah Kancey. I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong. I see the skill set. But with that frame, dude, maybe you can move him to more of like a 4 or 5 tech once he gets in the league. So a little bit closer.
Like a tweener type thing?
Yeah, a little bit closer to the tackles. Kind of like I can't think of something else.
So like what the Steelers are doing with like DeMarvin Leal.
Sure. If you know who DeMarvin Leal is.
No, DeMarvin Leal is like a first round pick, though.
Okay, we're going to keep going. But with Brian Brzee, one, he's the 6'5", you know, 6'5", 300 pounds, 305, excuse me. Obviously, the size you look for on a defensive tackle. And the thing that I think separates them the most is that when Kalijah Kancey, when he gets double-teamed as an interior guy in the NFL, he will stand no chance. He will be driven back as far as they want to drive him back, which he does have a good get-off, so that could help him with the double teams. But but even when he was in college, he struggled when he got in double teams. He got shoved back. He's going to be taken out of the play. But that's the thing. Brian Brisee kind of – you can't really excel, but within the standard of double teams in the NFL, he one, he shows the skills that most big defensive linemen, interior defensive linemen have. But he did succeed, like, especially with double teams at the college level. And I do think that's a big reason to want
no,
to
that, that's
him on
totally
the inside.
Fair. Yeah, no. And I think that's a pitfall of Kancey being undersized in the way that he is,
exactly.
Right? It does make him more susceptible to the double team. But I mean, right. When you think about it, man, if you're getting double teamed, right? Maybe that's like freeing someone else up
right
on your team, right? So like
Kalijah getting double teamed?
Kancey got double teamed all the time in the ACC. Yeah,
And that's
really?
He has crazy sack numbers.
Yeah, it's because
that's
he's
crazy.
A great pass rusher.
He is similar to Aaron Donald though, like in that you know undersized.
Yeah, Kancey. I mean, he may be the best.
A lot.
He may be the best pass rusher as an interior guy in this class.
In this class, yeah.
It's just that the run defense really just isn't that good. That's my only problem with it. But and a lot of that does come from size, because
yeah.
The run defense as an interior guy is just holding up a gap. And if you can't hold up that gap, and that bit, when that is due to his size, that's what makes you a lesser run defender. It's different for like outside linebackers, because their role is just different in run defense. But if you can't hold up a gap or take up space as an interior defensive guy, that's going to make me not want to have you in the run defense game.
I think it depends on the style of defense you want to play, right? I mean,
yeah.
You could run out I'm trying to think. You could run out like different packages, right? Where like
right.
You have a specific like interior D lineman when it's run defense time, or like a specific one when you're pass rushing or type thing.
Right.
But I think ideally, like if you're taking a first round pick on the person, you'd want them to be there in every situation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, I can see that. Like I said, I think it's a pretty. It's Jalen Carter. By far.
Absolutely, yeah. By leaps
and
then
bounds and miles. I think the only realistic next two, and it's kind of like a coin flip, each have their ups and downs,
right.
Is Brisee and Kancey. And then
yeah.
It's
just kind of everybody else after
yeah.
that. I would agree, yeah.
That's a tough pick. I don't know. I would probably lean Brisee, but I don't know. Kansi's really good, too.
I only say Brisee.
They're both really good. I think it's like for sure like a 50-50.
It is straight up a coin flip. It depends on whatever team, whatever type of strength and weakness they take more stock
Absolutely.
In. That's what it's going
to come
down to.
That's a big reason that I have the Seahawks. That's why I have Brisee mainly specifically for the Seahawks, because the Seahawks do love their big three-tech guys.
And that's completely
fair. And that's why I think they would take Brisee at the 20th pick. But, yeah. Is there any other let's see, for this week? That is the complete 20 for this week. That being said, is there anything that we have done so far that you guys kind of wanted to
go back on? We had Levis at 4 to
yeah.
the Colts. I don't think Levis goes. I do think the first
is
three
it because of like the mayo and the coffee thing.
Dude, no. What was the other one he did that I
he
said?
He eats bananas with the peel?
Yeah, banana with the
Dude.
Peel, mayo, and the coffee.
Which one
but, oh, but they're rotten, too. They're like brown. When
which one
it.
Is crazier? I don't matter. That dude's wild. I don't think he goes 4. I don't think he goes 4.
I actually said this last week. Or this was that was my take. I didn't think he's going to the Colts, but I was met with, oh, he's the perfect Colts guy. He's going to be perfect. But
who said that? Who said
both
that?
Of you. Both of you didn't like
I said, we did not say he was perfect. That's not
like,
what we said.
Maybe not as a prospect, but you're saying he made more
you
sense.
You put
for
mayo
him
in your
Colts.
Coffee, don't you?
You got me. I don't even drink coffee, but you know.
No, I don't think he goes 4.
Yeah.
Where do you think he falls to?
I've seen a lot of him to the Titans at 11. Which I
yeah. I'd have to,
A lot of take back to from people I've talked to is like, well, they drafted Willis last year. I mean, I personally feel like when you
dude, he's so bad.
When you draft a guy third round quarterback,
Malik Willis is so bad.
It dude. Doesn't matter. Like, is that a crazy take?
No, it's the same thing with the Panthers took Matt Corral last year.
It's
That's
just
not
like a
stop us from taking a quarterback.
Yeah, no, like
you
it's literally
I mean?
Just like a if it works out, great. But if it doesn't, it don't.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Some people are saying that they just got Willis and they should give him a chance. But Willis,
if it by any constellation, I would much much rather have Will Levis as my starting quarterback than Malik Willis. Okay, quite frankly, it's not even close. But
no. Yeah,
there's that one game he went like 2 for 3 really for like 7 yards.
Yeah.
He's not really good.
Malik Willis, his first throw at the NFL level should have been a pick six. I don't know if you guys remember. He drops back. There's a guy in an out route. It's just completely covered, but he throws it anyway. And, dude, the receiver literally just drops it. It should have been to the house.
I'm just saying, Josh Dobbs, when put in the pinch spot, threw for more yards in one game than Malik Willis had over 3 starts.
Dude, I don't think.
And if that is not telling you enough, then I don't know what is, okay? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Josh Dobbs is better than him, though.
Better I completely agree. Yeah. Steelers legend, too, by the way.
Steelers legend.
Practice squad warrior.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
That'd be my one take.
I know when we talked about it last week with my Bryce Young take being number one, it is slightly less controversial than what it was, than what it would have been last
week. Yes,
I agree. The more information that has come out.
I don't know if it's ever been controversial. I mean, I think it's been more coin flip.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's less controversial. If it ever was, just it is less of a – it's more. Let's just say it's more likely that it will happen.
Yeah.
As this has gone
on. As it should. He's the best quarterback.
He's the best quarterback in the class. And I'm really hoping – if you remember what I said specifically last week, it went along the lines of all there is to do now is watch the tape, and Bryce Young has the best tape of any quarterback by a mile.
It's not close.
It's not close.
Stroud, I mean, dude, I don't know. I think Stroud's heavily overrated as far as, like, if you watch him, especially in big game scenarios, he really I know, like, he had the Georgia game, and that made his, like, his stock look a lot better than it would have.
Because it's like, oh, maybe he can play a little bit.
And I think he does have the ability, but his consistency is not there in big games.
Yeah.
Bryce is – and I know statistically there was a couple games he didn't have that were great – if you watch the games, I don't think one single game that Alabama lost in his time
there.
Oh,
was it his fault? No,
was
no,
his
no,
fault.
No, no, no.
Not one game.
Not one game.
And if you look at those Michigan games with Stroud, like, stats-wise, it might tell you he had a good game. If you watch the game, he didn't play great.
I'm telling you, man, I mean, I've talked about this a little bit before, mainly because, you know, I'm a Panthers fan. I've done my research when it comes to the top pick.
Right.
But with Stroud, man, it's just – with Ohio State specifically, they do something that – honestly, not a lot of college teams do that they honestly should, is they use every second of the play clock. And when they do that, they get out in the field quick, they give the defense a look, and then whatever they see with the defense, the sidelines, they all the players look at the sidelines, they get a new look, and they will transfer to that.
Yeah.
And so when you have the combination of that, the best receiving core, and obviously this is an old narrative at this point, but the best receiving core in the league, and a very talented offensive line, you know, it's very easy to make your quarterback look elite.
Yeah.
And I really do think that C.J. Stroud is hyper accurate. I do think he's a very talented quarterback, but I do think that is worth the concern.
Yeah.
When it comes to his draft outlook.
We'll continue the Ohio State QB, you know.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think
not
Fields
unfair.
Will. I think Fields will be good.
I'm still not sure about Fields yet.
I'm unsure on Fields.
I'm extremely sure.
The passing is still not there.
Oh, guarantee?
Guaranteed.
We got the guarantee.
Ooh, okay. Wesley guarantees are guaranteed.
Okay.
Wait. What was that? What was that earlier one that he was talking about? The Jordan Love MVP one?
Oh, yeah. Jordan Love is going to be MVP next year.
Let me give you a challenge.
The guarantees take in about a year.
Let me give you a challenge. Okay. Biased Pittsburgh takes.
I'm glad I'm not part of this conversation.
Impossible.
I've avoided it. Bias
Pittsburgh take? You want to bias Pittsburgh take?
So badly.
They're going to go ahead.
Steelers, I think, will win the AFC North.
Carolina's going to win the NFC South.
I think that's
not even a hot take that Carolina will win the NFC
South. I think
South.
That the Steelers are going to win the NBA Finals.
That is a great take. That is what I like to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back next week for 21 through 31?
Absolutely. Yep. Anything else we want to add before we get
that's
out
it
here?
That's it for me.
Nope.
All righty.
Thunder up again.
Thunder up once again. All right, this has been a great show. Thank you all for listening. We hope to see you next week for our same show where we finish out our mock draft.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.